Om Jnanadhimadannasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This is one of the books by the Goswamis, Srila Rupa Goswami, and I'll just read a couple of excerpts. It's so helpful for the whole world to have this book. This is Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service, Chapter 1. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 29th chapter, verses 12 and 13, Srila Kapiladev, while instructing his mother, has given the following characteristics of pure devotional service. Please get 3rd canto, 29th chapter, verses 12 and 13. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 29th chapter, verses 12 and 13, Srila Kapiladev, while instructing his mother, has given the following characteristics of pure devotional service. My dear mother, those who are my pure devotees and who have no desire for material benefit or philosophical speculation have their minds so much engaged in my service that they are never interested in asking me for anything except to be engaged in that service. They do not even beg to live in my abode with me. Madguna Shuti Matrina Mai Sarva Guhashaye Manogatir Vichina Yata Gangambasam Budao Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Hyudaritam Haituki Avyavahita Yabhakti Purushottame. So the very beginning of the Nectar Devotion, we're getting a definition of what it means to engage in pure devotional service. And then Rupa Goswami quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the standard pramanam, or evidence, for presenting any theories, spiritual devotional theories. And before the verse that I just quoted, or just read, which was quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami, Lord Kapiladev, who's speaking to Devahuti, describes devotional service in the modes of material nature. And then he comes to this verse and tells what is devotional service that's beyond the modes of material nature. Did you give me the right verse? Yes. And so I'm going to read for you the verses before this so you get an idea for what is devotional service affected by the three modes of material nature. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Explanation of Devotional Service, and we're starting with text number 1. Devahuti inquired, "My dear Lord, you have already very scientifically described the symptoms of the total material nature and the characteristics of the spirit according to the Sankhya system of philosophy. Now I shall request you to explain the path of devotional service, which is the ultimate end of all philosophical systems." Devahuti continued, "My dear Lord, please also describe in detail, both for me and for people in general, the continual process of birth and death. For by hearing of such calamities, we may become detached from the activities of this material world." Please also describe eternal time, which is a representation of your form and by whose influence people in general engage in the performance of pious activities. My dear Lord, you are just like the sun, for you illuminate the darkness of the conditional life of the living entities. Because their eyes of knowledge are not open, they are sleeping eternally in that darkness without your shelter, and therefore they are falsely engaged by the actions and reactions of their material activities, and they appear to be very fatigued. Sri Maitreya said, "O best amongst the Kurus, the great sage Kapila, moved by great compassion and pleased by the words of his glorious mother, spoke as follows. Lord Kapila, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, replied, O noble lady, there are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor. Purport. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness is one because in pure devotional service, there's no demand from the devotee to be fulfilled by the Lord. But generally, people take to devotional service with a purpose. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, people who are not purified take to devotional service for four purposes. Please quote the verse. Use the microphone, somebody. Somebody volunteer to recite the verse. Give it to our resident pundit.
Chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukrita arjuna artha jigyasu arthaarthi jnani cha bharatar chava.
Yes.
Four types of people take shelter unto me or surrender unto me. This artha, this person who is sick, arthaarthi, artha jigyasu, the person who is inquisitive, arthaarthi, who is looking for money or fame, gain, and jnani, who is in knowledge.
Okay.
These four type of people.
Good. From?
From 7th chapter.
Yes.
16 verse of 15
okay.
Verse, yeah.
7:16. A person who is distressed because of material conditions becomes a devotee of the Lord and approaches the Lord for mitigation of his distress. A person in need of money approaches the Lord to ask for some improvement in his monetary condition. Others who are not in distress or in need of monetary assistance but are seeking knowledge in order to understand the Absolute Truth also take to devotional service, and they inquire unto the nature of the Supreme Lord. This is very nicely described in Bhagavad Gita 7:16. Actually, the path of devotional service is one without a second, but according to the devotee's condition, devotional service appears in multifarious varieties, as will be nicely explained in the following verses. Prepare yourselves. Abhisandhaya yohinsam dambhan matsaryam evava samrambhi binadrik bhavam mai kuryat satamasaha. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, and who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. It has already been stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, that the highest, most glorious religion is the attainment of causeless, unmotivated devotional service. Somebody else, please quote the verse. Use the microphone.
Samipam samparo dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. The highest devotional service is one that is attained, which is, it should be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self.
First number.
First canto, second chapter. Number six.
Good job. In pure devotional service, the only motive should be to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is not actually a motive. That is the pure condition of the living entity. In the conditioned stage, when one engages in devotional service, he should follow the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master in full surrender. The spiritual master is the manifested representation of the Supreme Lord because he receives and presents the instructions of the Lord as they are by disciplic succession. So if a person from corporation like what?
Intel.
Okay, like Intel. Person is given power of attorney by Intel, and he comes to sign some papers for a acquisition. Because the person has been authorized, then when he signs the papers, it's binding because he's been authorized. So there's a sense of the representative of, when Prabhupada mentions the representative of the Supreme Personality of God, the spiritual master, someone's accepting service on behalf of the company. So if that person thinks, I am Intel, or that this money's for me, then he'll be put in jail. Well, maybe not nowadays. but he should be. And so in a similar way, representative means to be a via medium, somebody who's doing something on behalf of, he's an agent doing something on behalf of another. The spiritual master, the manifested representation of the Supreme Lord, because he receives and presents the instructions of the Lord as they are by disciplic succession. Prabhupada also describes how a spiritual master should be, is like an attorney also. So attorney knows the law, and spiritual master is supposed to know the spiritual theories as presented and given in evidence in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and so forth, and be able to resolve particular issues by comparing verses and instructions that have been passed down through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. It is described in Bhagavad Gita that the teachings therein should be received by disciplic succession, otherwise there's adulteration. Verse, please. Okay, someone other than our resident pundit. All you are Bhakti Shastris, right?
Evam parampara praptam imam rajasya vidu sakalini mahata yavanasta parantapa.
Could you just tell us about the verse, please?
So this verse
translation.
The translation. So this is the disciple of success. Evam parampara praptam, this disciple of succession. I don't know exact translation. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasya vidu. So he's saying that this is like a disciple of succession in sakalini mahata yavanasta parantapa. So and then by the time gradually it occurs, it deteriorates the value of the knowledge because of the time factor.
Yeah, he says that because this the knowledge has been lost, now I'm passing it on to you through parampara, means one after another, and he's renewing it. Okay. To act under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master with a motive to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pure devotional service. I repeat, to act under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master with a motive to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pure devotional service. But if one has a motive for personal sense gratification, his devotional service is manifested differently. Such a man may be violent, proud, envious, and angry, and his interests are separate from the Lord's. One who approaches the Supreme Lord to render devotional service, but who is proud of his personality, envious of others, or vengeful, is in the mode of anger. He thinks that he is the best devotee. Devotional service executed in this way is not pure. It is mixed, and it is the lowest grade, of the lowest grade, tamasaha. Which grade? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur advises that a Vaishnav who is not of good character should be avoided. A Vaishnav is one who has taken the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the ultimate goal of life, but if one is not pure and still has motives, then he is not a Vaishnav of the first order of good character. One may offer his respects to such a Vaishnav because he has accepted the Supreme Lord as the ultimate goal of life, but one should not keep company with a Vaishnav who is in the mode of ignorance. So, if someone is a Vaishnava, which means he accepts Krishna as the ultimate goal of life, but doesn't have good character, what should one do? Well, you said avoid, but what else? Somebody use the microphone and give the full explanation. You've got it? Go ahead.
Maharaj, we could keep a respectful distance.
Okay, be a little more accurate. Respectful distance. I mean, that's good, but it's very sutra-esque.
So yes? One should basically not have any association, not necessarily respectful distances, but association in terms of the thought process, in terms of the bani, so which is to be avoided.
You could offer respects to such a person, but you don't have to associate. I mean, what you said was nice. Yes?
Can it relate it to do with the six kind of dealings among the devotees which can be avoided with him, like dadati pratiginyate kuchamakyati, so this kind of dealings?
Sure. Well, maybe you send him some prasad from the other part of the country. So it's important to understand that there's two things. One is you're showing respect, but the other is you're not obligated to associate. In fact, you're enjoined here that you shouldn't associate if someone has bad character. But that doesn't mean then that you should disparage the person publicly or become disrespectful, because we respect those who can say Hare Krishna, but you don't have to be right in close and have intimate association with such a person. And as a matter of fact, during outreach of Krishna consciousness, if one meets somebody who's inimical towards the Lord, one should avoid such a person. But Jiva Goswami goes on to say, in one's mind, one should think and pray for such a person that that he or she might be helped by devotional service. And he said, this is sadachar, it means it's good behavior, to think about how to help such a person, but you should avoid them at the same time. Okay, text number 9, the worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, or opulence is devotion in the mode of passion, purport. The word separatist must be understood carefully. The Sanskrit words in this connection are bhinna drik or pratak bhava. A separatist is one who sees his interest as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. Mixed devotees, or devotees in the modes of passion and ignorance, think that the interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying the orders of the devotee. The interest of such devotees is to draw from the Lord as much as possible for their sense gratification. This is the separatist mentality. Actually, pure devotion is explained in the previous chapter. The mind of the Supreme Lord and the mind of the devotee should be dovetailed. A devotee should not wish anything but to execute the desire of the Supreme. That is oneness. When the devotee has an interest or will different from the interest of the Supreme Lord, his mentality is that of a separatist. When the so-called devotee desires material enjoyment without reference to the interest of the Supreme Lord, or he wants to become famous or opulent by utilizing the mercy or grace of the Supreme Lord, he is in the mode of passion. Mayavadis, however, interpret the word separatist, this word separatist, in a different way. They say that while worshiping the Lord, one should think himself one with the Supreme Lord. This is another adulterated form of devotion within the modes of material nature. The conception that the living entity is one with the Supreme is in the mode of ignorance. Oneness is actually based on oneness of interests. A pure devotee has no interest but to act on behalf of the Supreme Lord. When one has even a tinge of personal interest, his devotion is mixed with the three modes of material nature. Someone give one of the main points from this purport. One of the main points. Okay. Yes, Kushal, go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, separatist mentality. Yes. Separatist mentality is when one has will or intention which is not the same, which is not as per the interest of the Supreme Lord. That is separatist mentality.
Okay, what else? Other main points? Yes. Pass the mic back.
Another mentality is when you use the mercy of the Lord to gain material opulences.
Yeah, very good. And? Did you have a point?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So the sentence, the mind of Supreme Personality of Godhead and the mind of the devotee should be dovetailed.
Yeah.
It really stuck.
Oneness means? Yeah, oneness of interest, oneness of purpose. So this describes devotional service in the mode of passion and mode of goodness. Karma nirharam udishya parismin va tad arpanam yajet yashtavyam iti va pratag bhava sasatvika. Shraddha, you had another point?
Uh,
So Maharaj, in verse number 8 it said that if a person is proud of himself, he is in the mode of anger. So I always used to associate pride with passion somehow. Pride.
It's all related to that. Anyway, mode of anger is just a form of expression that Prabhupada used there. Can you refer to that? Number 8. One who approaches the Supreme Lord to render devotional service, but who is proud of his personality, envious of others, or vengeful, is in the mode of anger. It's just a way of expressing. It doesn't say if he's in passion or ignorance, but when a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities, in order to free himself from the inebrieties of fruit of activities, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. Purport. The Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, along with the Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis, are the members of the 8 divisions of Varnas and Ashramas, and they have their respective duties to perform for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When such activities are performed and the results are offered to the Supreme Lord, they are called karmarpanam. What are they called? Duties performed for the satisfaction of the Lord. If there is any inebriety or fault, it is atoned for by this offering process. But if this offering process is in the mode of goodness rather than in pure devotion, then the interest is different. The 4 ashramas and the 4 varnas act for some benefit in accordance with their personal interests. Therefore, such activities are in the mode of goodness. They cannot be counted in the category of pure devotion. Pure devotional service, as described by Rupa Goswami, is free from all material desires. Anyabhilashita shunyam. There can be no excuse for personal or material interest. Devotional activities should be transcendental to fruitive activities and empiric philosophical speculation. Pure devotional service is transcendental to all material qualities. Devotional service in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness can be divided into 81 categories. There are different devotional activities such as hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, offering prayer, rendering service, and surrendering everything, and each of them can be divided into 3 qualitative categories. There is hearing in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, and in the mode of goodness. Similarly, there is chanting in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness, etc. 3 multiplied by 9 equals 27, and when again multiplied by 3, it becomes 81. One has to transcend all such mixed materialistic devotional service in order to reach the standard of pure devotional service as explained in the next verses. So now we come back to the original verse. This is Madguna Shruti Matrena, and this is the definition of pure devotional service. I'll say, please repeat. Madguna Shruti Matrena. Mai sarva guhashaye manogatir avichchinna yata gangam basom budau lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hyudaritam ahaituki avyavahita ya bhakti purushottame. Translation is, the manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the sea, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. Purport. The basic principle of this unadulterated pure devotional service is love of Godhead. Madguna Shruti Matrena means just after hearing about the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These qualities are called Nirguna. The Supreme Lord is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he is attractive to the pure devotee. There is no need to practice meditation to attain such attraction. The pure devotee is already in the transcendental stage, and the affinity between him and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is natural and is compared to the Ganges water flowing towards the sea. The flow of the Ganges water cannot be stopped by any condition. Similarly, a pure devotee's attraction for the transcendental name, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Godhead cannot be stopped by any material condition. The word avichinna, without interruptions, is very important in this connection. No material condition can stop the flow of devotional service of a pure devotee. The word ahaituki means without reason. A pure devotee does not render loving service to the Personality of Godhead for any cause or for any benefit, material or spiritual. This is the first symptom of unalloyed devotional service. Anyabhilashita shunyam. He has no desire to fulfill by rendering devotional service. Such devotional service is meant for the Purushottam, the Supreme Personality, and not for anyone else. Sometimes pseudo-devotees show devotion to many demigods, thinking the forms of the demigods to be the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead's form. It is specifically mentioned herein, however, that bhakti, devotional service, is meant only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, Vishnu, or Krishna, not for anyone else. Avyavahita means without cessation. A pure devotee must engage in the service of the Lord 24 hours a day without cessation. His life is so molded that at every minute and every second he engages in some sort of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another meaning of the word avyavahita is that the interest of the devotee and the interest of the Supreme Lord are on the same level. The devotee has no interest but to fulfill the transcendental desire of the Supreme Lord. Such spontaneous service under the Supreme Lord is transcendental and is never contaminated by the material modes of nature. These are the symptoms of pure devotional service, which is free from all contamination of material nature. Now I'll go back to the first paragraph of the Nectar Devotion, from which we had moved on to see what Rupa Goswami is referring to. Characteristics of pure devotional service. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 29th chapter, verses 12 and 13, Srila Kapiladev, while instructing his mother, has given the following characteristics of pure devotional service. My dear mother, those who are my pure devotees, who have no desire for material benefit or philosophical speculation, have their minds so much engaged in my service that they are never interested in asking me for anything except to be engaged in that service. They do not even beg to live in my abode with me. So now we'll take some reflections. Oh. Yes, that's true, yeah. So the next verse, 13, that's 329.13. Salokyasharshtisamipya sarupyaikatvam apyuta diyamanam nagrananti vinamat sevanam jana. A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation. Salokya, sarshti, samipya, sarupya, or ikatva, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that those are all referred to in this first paragraph of the Nectar Devotion. And now we'll take some reflections. Yes.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I really like the build-up of this class. Basically, when I sat down, right, the first verse we talked about was like Chaturvija Bhajante Maam, where Krishna is saying, like, you know, four kinds of people come to me, and you clearly explain this is okay, but these are not pure, right? Then I was confused. So first you tell, like, you know, these people can come and worship me, and then you kind of say these are not pure, right? Then this verse that you just read in the purport, right, it clearly talks about how the devotion should be unmotivated and it should be directed to just please the Lord. So that kind of clearly tells like this is what the definition of a pure devotee. So that was
good. Yes. We also will notice as we're studying the various kinds of devotional service, even though motivated, how magnanimous Krishna is, that he appreciates all of them. For instance, Chatur Vidaba Jante Mam Jana Sukritino Arjuna Arto Jignasa Artarti Jnani Chabaratarshaba. Krishna mentions four kinds of what he says Sukriti, pious people who render service unto him or surrender to him because of the various motives that they have. And besides these, he mentions in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Gana Jagnina Chapyanya Yajanto Mamupasite Ekatvena Pritakvena Bahuda Vishvato Mukham. He said, then there are those, he says, some of them, they're worship themselves as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ekatvena, they think they're God. So they worship in that way. Pritakvena Bahuna. And then there are those who see separate forms of the Lord. They think the demigods are various representatives and they're as good as worshiping the Supreme Lord. Pritakvena Bahuda Vishvato. Pritakvena Bahuda means they see various forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and accept those as God and they worship. And then Vishvato Mukham, then they see the universe as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is fairly common. People say, I prayed to the universe for a new car. And it came. I thanked the universe. I put out to the universe. There's a sense that there's a divineness to the universe and they worship the universe as God. And Krishna's not disparaging these people necessarily, saying that they don't have a clear idea, but they have some idea that there's a divine somewhere and they're worshiping in that way. But he gives also in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita a very clear indication of the perfect condition of devotional service when he gives Mahatmanastu Mam Partha Daivim Prakritim Ashrita Bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutatim avyayam en satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha jadavrta namashyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. And here he uses the word tu and he says that, but there are this special category of the pure devotees of the Lord. So this progression of verses we just read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a third canto, gives an idea of the ways in which the people who are doing devotional service, they have faith in God, but they're contaminated by various desires. How we see how they're categorized and so forth. So it's helpful to see that because although it's important wherever it appears, that spark of a devotional service, knowing what the actual goal is and the definition of pure devotional service is very important. That's why Rupa Goswami begins his book with this, to say that this is the nature of pure devotional service. This is what we'll be talking about in the Nectar Devotion, how to perform that kind of devotional service. Other reflections, a lot of them. Okay, Bali Mardan, Prabhu, you had your hand up before. And then into Sevika.
So I like the Prabhupada's purport, how he really gives an example of the separatist. There are five different, likely the violent, the envious, and the separatist are not in the mode of pure devotional service, rather than in devotion in darkness. And Prabhupada given an example of the definition of separatist. And then he said about the separatist in the mode of darkness, which is not agreeing to this. And the third category mentioned about the separatist who is taking the mercy of the Lord and taking advantage to, for his own glory, so slightly more the passions. And then he is also giving an example of the Mayavadis, how they misinterpret the actual verse of separatist, and then Prabhupada again come back to who is in the mode of goodness. So those flow of the ideas about the devotional service, which clarifies today a lot about how we can really uplift ourselves to understand what exactly the pure devotional service means.
Yeah, nice points that these all refer to some kind of separatist mentality. And Malini had quoted a verse earlier indicating the only way that one can be fully satisfied is by not having any separate interests. When one's interest is the same as the Lord's, that's one's only interest, then one can feel satisfaction in life. And all kinds of fear, anxiety, and so forth are caused by this feeling of separateness. In fact, going back to, in a general sense, the Srimad Bhagavatam says, bhayam dvitiya binibeshita syat, that when there's dvitiya, when there's this feeling of separateness, dvitiya means there's something else besides the Lord and his purposes, then fear arises. But as soon as one sees that, I mean, there may, things may be out of my control, but it doesn't mean that things are out of control in general, because everything's controlled by the Lord. Those who understand that Krishna's controlling everything and conform their lives to his interests no longer are disturbed by the various changes that go on in the world, because why should they be? They don't have any other interests except for the Supreme Lord, and he's controlling everything. Who is next? Vrinda Sevika.
Hare Krishna. I was astonished by the number of different varieties of devotional service, like 81, depending on the modes. It's so subtle, and how we should identify, and should we identify and think about ourselves, introspect, and should we ask a spiritual master where we are, because it's so subtle, how to understand.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point.
How to go to the pure level.
In all the different aspects, hearing, chanting, remembering, etc., there's these very subtleties of the modes of material nature, or it can be done in the mode of pure devotional service. Thank you. Yes. 1, 2.
I just noticed this analogy of the Ganges flowing into the ocean. We did twice, once in Queen Kunti's prayers, where she says that, you know, let all my attention be drawn to the Lord without any hindrance, and again now in the definition, like, you know, that pure devotional service is being said that it is characterized by, you know, all your focus going to the Lord, similar to Ganges flowing towards the ocean without any obstacles. So I just noticed that thing.
Yes. This is the characteristic. It's not calculated. The mind just goes there without any other consideration. We have from the internet. Okay.
So we have Chu from the Facebook. There is Fernando Rico, and he says, "Uncle, I love you."
Thank you. You just Thank made you. My day.
Thank you for coming to New Raman Reti.
I was very impressed by New Raman Reti. I hadn't been there in a long time, hadn't thought about it so much, but Krishna is so kind to purify me. He brought me there to see a higher quality of devotional service by the residents there. And they're so full of love and affection that when you go to New Raman Reti, everybody comes out from everywhere to offer you prasadam, some, you know, Krishna Katha and so forth. It's a remarkable community. I think maybe by the power of New Raman Reti, the whole world's just still holding together despite all the other things that are going on.
And then we have Bhakta Thomas. He sends his Hare Krishna from the frozen north.
Oh, yeah.
And he says that no material condition can stop the flow of the devotional service of the pure devotee.
That includes the frozen north, right? Good work, Bhakta Thomas.
Can I share one reflection?
Yes, please.
So since we are a sonic philosophy, I was concentrating on the word Shruti, where it said Mad Guna Shruti Matrina. And I was thinking about the pastimes of the wives of the Brahmanas, and they had just heard about Krishna at the bathing ghat, or you know, where they went and they became devotees. And also Krishna says in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that some people are not very conversant with this, but they hear about him, and then just by hearing about his qualities, 13:26, they become devotees, and they also then attain perfection eventually. So the power of hearing, just focusing on that.
Very nice. And this very much relates to the activity of Sankirtan, especially because she brought in 13:26, in which Krishna says, again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. And Jiva Goswami makes this point in his Bhakti Sandarbha that one can understand the quality of one's own devotional service by the degree in which one has developed a desire to hear. So if the Chaitanya Charitamrita comes out, then you think, I got to go home now. I think my mom's calling me to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. The mind resists. Then this is a sign that there's some contamination by the modes of nature. But if one is constantly drawn towards hearing and wants to hear more and more, this is a sign of spiritual health. And you can judge for yourself and see how much eager you are to hear. What else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Mahārāj. Thank you for giving such nice descriptions about the characteristics of pure devotion. So, one question that came to me is, when we get to know about these characteristics, we naturally want to pray for them, but while praying, sometimes also this thought comes that, am I even qualified to pray for this? Or am I being impudent while trying to pray for these qualities? So, how do we take the approach from that point on? How should we pray for these qualities of pure devotion?
Well, first to understand that it's the natural state of the living entity. It's not something foreign to us. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shita Chite Kare Udoi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that the devotee has the nature of having affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it's become covered over. So it's not something extra that we're getting, it's something inherent, and we're simply coming to the state of purification. A living entity and who becomes purified then naturally has these qualities arise. And also we can depend on the great souls and repeat what they've said. This is a recommended process. As we did this morning, we recited Queen Kunti's prayers. And if we follow in their footsteps by reciting what they've said and then trying to imbibe the same kind of feeling as we're saying, then we'll be helped in a number of ways. First, by saying the right things because they've been said by liberated souls. And second, by trying to emulate their mood. Krishna will empower us. But it's not, you'll find in many of the prayers of liberated souls the statement again and again, I'm not qualified. I'm not even qualified to approach you, and so forth. And this is one of the moods of pure devotional service also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Sanatana Goswami that as one advances in devotional service, one feels him or herself less and less qualified. Even though that person is becoming more qualified, he or she feels less qualified. So it's a natural state of humility. It's not that one advances in devotional service, then one becomes conceited and says, you know, I'm the best devotee or something like that. All the devotees will say, I'm the lowest. In fact, when Narada Muni was looking for the devotee who had received the most mercy, He went to various devotees and glorified them, and each one of them pointed to somebody else. And each one of the devotees gave very intricate reasons why they weren't qualified to receive any praise for devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj, who's the paragon of this selfless, pure devotional service, you know, said, well, actually, the Lord wasn't, you know, he didn't, you'll notice that he just came for a little while, and it was, I really didn't deserve it. And others will defer. All the others, this is in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So that's the mood of the devotees anyway. But at the same time, one should not consider oneself to be permanently unqualified, because this is also not the case. By following the process, one should have optimism that I can come to the perfectional stage. Otherwise, why are we performing the activities? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, karame karame, step by step, if you follow this, then you'll come to the perfectional stage. You'll come to the stage of Uttama Adhikari. So sometimes people, well, Uttama Adhikari, it's not that, you know, Uttama Adhikaris descend and then there's no access to that stage of devotional service. It's the opposite. Anyone can start from the neophyte stage, and by chanting Hare Krishna, following the process, one can come to the stage of Uttama Adhikari. Otherwise, why is there a process at all? And if one isn't qualified, or it's not, has no potential to come to that stage, then why even follow it? There's no purpose to it. It's not logical at all. Did you write the Declaration of Independence? The Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta. What else? Any other things? Yes, last point.
So, this separatist mentality in devotional service, Srila Prabhupada was explaining in one of the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita purport. So, he was mentioning that if somebody knows the goal of life, that means he is in the devotional process, but he's attached to fruitive activities. That means he is in karma yoga. That means karma mishra bhakti. Somebody takes pleasure in mental speculation, even if he knows what is the goal of life is Krishna, that is jnana yoga or jnana mishra bhakti. But somebody who only seeks Krishna by his devotional service, he is in pure devotional service or ahituki bhakti. So I think
yes, excellent points. And we're advised to, from whatever situation we're in now, continue with the process of devotional service and gradually come to the stage of pure devotional service. Stanestita shuddhikatam tanavan manobir. This was a verse that was highly respected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, he respected all the verses of the Bhagavatam, but he picked this one out as being instructive. This verse says, Jnani priyasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam stani stita shuti gatan tanuvan manobir hi priyaso jita jito pyasitais trilokyam. And that is, one should distance oneself from trying to speculate about God in any way and simply surrender to the process of devotional service. And by that process, no matter what situation one's in now, stane stita, you can stay in that situation, because what else can you do? You can't artificially move. But stane stita shutikatam, and you go on hearing, shutikan vanmanobir, and you worship that hearing process with your body, mind, and words. You're offering obeisances to the hearing process, submissive hearing. Shudhikatam tanavan manobir ye prayaso jita jito means that you will come to that stage of pure devotional service. It's indicated in the verse. Jita jito means that you'll be able to conquer the unconquerable. The unconquerable is Krishna, and the only way he's conquered is by pure devotional service. So jita jito. But you can do that by hearing about Krishna. So one should arrange one's life in such a way that one can hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this can be organized. Anyone can do this within a 24-hour period. One should have some special time when one hears from the directly from the Srimad Bhagavatam and hears Prabhupada's purports, because by that process, submissive hearing regularly every day, one will advance in devotional service. Faith will become firm. One will also develop a taste for hearing, because it is, there's nothing like the Bhagavatam. And especially if you hear successively, go all the way through from the first canto all the way to the 12th canto, that your brain will be rearranged, be put in proper order. And it'll be able, your mind will function properly. It doesn't, the mind, when it's affected by various kinds of sound vibration that is material, affected by material sound vibration, it doesn't function properly. It gets broken. And you don't even dream properly. You don't dream properly. You can't think properly. You can't make proper decisions. But when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they used to have this thing, here's your mind on drugs. It was a thing against drugs, and they said, here's your mind, I think they had an egg or something, here's your mind on drugs, and they put it in the egg in the frying pan, and it was like frying. You could have one with your brain. Here's your brain on material sound vibration, here's it on Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is the process, the submissive hearing. If one dedicates oneself to the process, even if one begins and doesn't have an attraction for hearing, if one at least has an appreciation that it's medicinal and goes on taking it, then one will gradually learn everything and also develop a taste for hearing about Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay, what else was there? The Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, Magna Carta. Oh yes, there's somebody on the phone. That's what it was. Okay, whoever was there on the phone and wanted to make a point, please go ahead now. Was that you? Oh, there's somebody else. Okay, go ahead and speak up. I didn't quite hear who that was.
That's all right. This is Abhijit from Dallas, Texas. I have a question for you. I was just reading the Gita, and I'm referring to the transcendental knowledge in which Krishna says, Krishna says, all who surrender unto me, I reward them according, and everyone who follows my path in all respects, O son of God. I wanted to ask, with reference to this quote, when devotees are sincere towards their devotional service to Krishna, and they are sincere in their endeavor to serve Krishna, in often situations of our life, when things become difficult to do that, or in terms of not out, I wanted to ask that at that point, why doesn't Krishna intervene with Maya and say, hey, stop, this is my duty, please be merciful, and I offer my protection.
If I understood you correctly, see, you're breaking up, so it's a little difficult for us to hear everything, but from what I gathered so far, you quoted from Bhagavad Gita, yeyata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham, etc. In this verse, Krishna says that as one surrenders to me, I reward him accordingly. And then you said, what about a situation in which one is performing devotional service but is engaged in worldly activities at the same time?
I said when devotee is engaged in pure devotional service of the Lord, and oftentimes is unable to do that under influence of Maya, and is taken away from the devotional service, I was curious at that point, why doesn't Krishna intervene with Maya and say, hey, stop, this is my devotee, and please do not mess with my devotee.
He does intervene. Yes, he does intervene, and that's why there are numerous references in Shastra to the way in which Krishna intervenes. In fact, Narada Muni Navajano Jata Katanchana Vrajan Mukunda Sevan Yara Angar Sangshritim Smaran Mukundang Rukabu Haram Punar Vihatami Chenna Rasagra Hojana. In this verse, Narada Muni says, could you bring me the verse, please? He says that when somebody is performing devotional service, but then falls down from the process of devotional service. He doesn't undergo material existence like a normal person. In fact, there's an interesting commentary in this. We'll hear Prabhupada's, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that after somebody's taken to devotional service and has experienced it, tasted pure devotional service, even if he falls down from the process, he can't forget because he's haunted by the ghost of rasa. The ghost of rasa. He's haunted by the ghost of rasa. He can't forget Krishna's lotus feet. He's like, no matter what he does in the material world, I go, damn, this is no good, but I can't stop it. No, Navayajana. Oh, there it is. Okay. My dear Vyasa, this is 1:5:19. My dear Vyasa, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, fruit of workers, etc., because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. And Vrinda will read the purport for us.
A devotee of the Lord automatically becomes uninterested in the enchantment of material existence because he is rasagraha, or one who has tasted the sweetness of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. There are certainly many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down due to uncongenial association, just like fruitive workers who are always prone to degradation.
Keep a list. Uncongenial, write it down.
But even though he falls down, a devotee is never to be considered the same as a fallen karmi. A karmi suffers the result of his own fruitive reactions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself.
Read that again.
A karmi suffers the result of his own fruitive reactions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself.
This is an important point in answering your question, Abhijit, because there, although it may seem that the Lord is not intervening, that the karma is coming back in, it's different. Because Krishna has taken personal control from the surrendered soul. Even though he or she may fall back down into Maya, Krishna then is giving them a special dose so that they'll come back to devotional service. I'll prove that in other ways. Please go ahead.
The sufferings of an orphan and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him, but a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his capable father. A devotee of the Lord, due to wrong association, sometimes imitates the fruitive workers. The fruitive workers want to lord it over the material world. Similarly, a neophyte devotee foolishly thinks of accumulating some material power in exchange for devotional service. Such foolish devotees are sometimes put into difficulty by the Lord himself. As a special favor, he may remove all material paraphernalia. By such action, the bewildered devotee is forsaken by all friends and relatives, and so he becomes comes to his senses again by the mercy of the Lord and is set right to execute his devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that such fallen devotees are given a chance to take birth in a family of highly qualified brahmanas or in a rich mercantile family. A devotee in such a position is not as fortunate as one who is chastised by the Lord and put into a position seemingly of helplessness. The devotee who becomes helpless by the will of the Lord is more fortunate than those who are born in good families. The fallen devotees born in a good family may forget the lotus feet of the Lord because they are less fortunate, but the devotee who is put into a forlorn condition is more fortunate because he swiftly returns to the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking himself helpless all around. Pure devotional service is so spiritually relishable that a devotee becomes automatically uninterested in material enjoyment. This is a sign of perfection in progressive devotional service. A pure devotee continuously remembers the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna and does not forget him even for a moment, not even in exchange for all the opulence of the three worlds.
Well done. Thank you. So this is one piece of evidence that the devotee who, although engaged in the process of devotional service, falls down from the process, does not become forgotten by Krishna. He's not a forgotten person. Krishna never forgets us. But he instead intervenes in our life in various ways and to rectify us. So one may think that, well, why? It's my own conception of what I should have in life and the way my life should be. That's not always accurate. Krishna has a better idea of ways in which to organize our lives so that we're going in the right direction. Like, have you ever tried to help a little bug who's running free in your house or on a public path, and you say, look, it's not a good area for you. You're in a bad place. Somebody's going to step on you. And you go over to help, and they go, nah, leave me alone. You know, I want to be here. And I was like, no, you got to move over this way, a little further, get on a bush, something. And they'll resist. They'll go around and up and down. And the bug's thinking, this guy is really torturing me. So Krishna, you know, is like, okay, you're in a place where you're going to get smashed. So I'm going to move you a little bit over here. It's like, nah, leave me alone. I want to live here. How come I can't have what I want? It's like, you can have what you want, but not over here. It's all over here. So we have to be intelligently aware that Krishna is our well-wisher and that he's the one that's moving us around. So for other evidence, we have from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Supada mulam bhajata priyasya tyaktanya bhavasa hare priyeshaha vikarma yach chot patitam katanchid tunoti sarvam hridi sandivishtaha. This verse says that a devotee may sometimes, somehow or other, although he's engaged, his full intention in life is to give up everything for the Lord. He becomes hari priyeshaha. He becomes dear to the Lord because of that. Anyone who does anything, even a little bit, this is something that's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, available here for $9.99, product placement, becomes dear to the Lord. He's grateful. It's one of his qualities. He's always grateful for any little thing that somebody does. What to speak of somebody who surrenders and follows the path of pure devotional service? Such a person falls down, this verse says, somehow or other, these things come up because of past conditioning. There's a way in which it just bubbles up and somebody gets deviated. So, Sopada mulam bhajata priyasya tyaktanya bhava sahari priyasya vikarma yach chot patitam katanchit. So, somehow or other, they perform some vikarma. Dhunoti sarvam riddhi sannivishta. It's already built into the system because Krishna is there within the heart and he knows the intention of the person. And nothing else is required except for the devotee go on performing pure devotional service because the Lord will purify him of that. No special arrangement like prayaschitta needs to be performed in order for one to become purified from that. So this proves also that Krishna is reciprocating with us. Even if we become overwhelmed by maya, he's there to help rectify us from within the heart and purify us. So once one takes the path of devotional service, Prabhupada writes in the light of the Bhagavat, then even if one changes one's mind, the force of the devotional service will take us anyway. Which is, a reasonable person will then say, I might as well just, I mean, there's the easy way and the hard way. Might as well just surrender to Krishna and have him bring us along. But we're never forsaken by Krishna. I hope that helped.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you for checking in. Good to hear from you. So, I also wanted to bring out a point from the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is that Hiranyakashipu had made a great endeavor to get something from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wanted to be deathless, and he wanted to enjoy everything in the material world. That's why his name is Hiranyakashipu. And these iconic figures can give us a hint that whenever we might identify a desire within ourselves for enjoying the material world, we might relate it to the story of Hiranyakashipu and think, well, he had given an extraordinary effort to enjoy the material world to the utmost. And not only that, he had performed austerities which were verified and also rewarded by the chief demigod in the universe, Brahma. And what was the result of that? Can anyone say in one word? The result of him getting all those benedictions. How did it work out for him? Let's just ask you that. Failure, anything else? Disaster. It's disastrous. So one might take a lesson from this, that this sort of endeavor, even subtly, even in a small level, it leads to disaster, it leads to failure. Krishna says in the Gita, Mogasha Moga Karmano Moga Jnana Vichetasa Rakshasimasirim Chaiva Prakriti Mohinim Shritaha. Hey, we got some pundits over here too. Okay, so there's a way in which he says, if you have this demoniac mentality of trying to enjoy the material world, then it becomes baffled on all levels. Mogasha, moga karmano. Your activities will be curtailed ultimately. Moga jnana vichetasa. The knowledge that you try to wrench out of the material world to demand answers and so forth, that will be distorted. And because they've taken shelter of this demoniac mentality. So the purpose of these examples is to show us that there's no recourse other than pure devotional service. Now, one of the very interesting points that is made here in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is that when Hiranyakashipu asked for this benediction, Brahma concedes, he gives it to them. He gives them what he wants. But there's a warning there that don't try to take things that you can't actually enjoy peacefully. Don't ask for benedictions that will actually burden you. So one might analyze this and see, what am I asking for? David Byrne from Talking Heads once said in his song, Burning Down the House, none of you have heard it, but it says, there's a lyric in that said, watch out, you might get what you're after. That's one of the refrains in the song. Watch out, you might get what you're after. So this is similar. There's a parallel here to the living entities. You may ask for many things, but watch out. You might get it. Can you handle it? Don't ask for benedictions that you can't handle. And if you go carefully into the subject matter and you study the Srimad Bhagavatam in detail, you find out the only thing we can really handle is pure devotional service, that benediction. If you ask for other benedictions, they won't sit well with you. Be like the princess and the pea. There's a story about the princess and the pea. Who knows the story? Okay, tell us. Go ahead, just do the best you can.
So there was a princess.
Pull a little closer, we want to hear this.
There was a princess, and I don't remember the exact story, but she slept on...
You can call a friend if you need to. Okay, go ahead, do the best you can, and they'll help you out with the princess and the pea.
One day she slept, and I think her, like, one of her relatives kept, like, a pea under the mattress.
Well, there's a little before that, right? Because the princess, you know the story? Okay, tell it. Give it to Shraddha. She's a grown-up kid. Okay, go ahead. No, but these stories are very instructive. They're important. So here it is.
So this is the story of a prince who wanted to get married to the softest person in the world. So they went out looking for it, and then they finally found a princess. And the test was that they had She was put on top of many, many mattresses, and they put a little pea pod right underneath at the bottom. And she said the next day that she was not able to sleep because of the pea.
Yeah, but they were testing many people, right? And some of them, they, no problem. But then, yes, there's more.
These stories taken from Betal Pancha Bingshati. There is a famous Sanskrit literature.
Yes.
The same kind of story is there, like where Brahman had three sons. So they were very sensitive. They were taken to the king. The king was telling that I will award the person who is most sensitive among these three. So he was testing the sensitivity. So when they were eating, one person was telling, this rice is very smelly. I feel like the ashes, smell of ashes from this rice. Then the king was telling, I didn't feel anything, or nobody objected about anything. Then he asked the person who supplied the rice, and he told, okay, this rice was actually produced in a place which is very close to crematorium. So that's, it's practical that, you know, he is telling that. Then the second person, he was telling, like, he was smelling a flower, and he was telling this flower is not smelling as good as it's supposed to be. Something is there which is contaminating this flower. Then they found that the earth in which that flower is produced, that earth is like not clean or, you know, proper. It's a place of garbage, something like that. And then the person, the third son, he was sleeping. He could not sleep because there was a needle at the bottom of the bed, and he felt like, you know, it's itching me. It's chewing me. So the king finally awarded the third son the most sensitive award, because he directly perceived it. Like, the person was really feeling the pain. The other persons, they can, you know, have known those information from someone, or, you know, made some fabricated story, but that was, you know, personally experienced. And I think that Pinchas and Peas story is copied from that Betal Pancha Bingshati story.
We're very subtle. We're living entities. We're not part of this world. And there are unlimited subtle enjoyments that we can try for. But for those who have tasted pure devotional service, these all become actually a disturbance to the consciousness. And in the story of the princess and the pea, when they're testing to see who's qualified, the various candidates, I may be making some of this up, but it works anyway. They come to sleep on the mattress, they don't feel it, but the actual princess, they don't know the pea's there. And under a stack of mattresses, then she's tossing and turning, and the next day what happens? There's something underneath there. So this indicates the delicacy of the body of the princess. So in a similar way, we're very delicate, and when we become refined in our consciousness, when our consciousness becomes refined, there's a way in which the subtle desires for material enjoyment become very disturbing to us. And so we can't be satisfied by any amount of interaction with the material world, even the fine arts. When you take, Prabhupada mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the mode of goodness. There are fine arts and music and so forth. And even that, although it's in the mode of goodness, it can't satisfy us ultimately, only the pure devotional service. So you have to be aware of the fact that we won't get comfortable here in the material world. Only by taking shelter of the process of devotional, pure devotional service, do we become fully comfortable. That's our constitutional position. And although it may sound like a difficult road, I mean, there may be a way in which, okay, well, how do I get there? It's actually very simple in one way. In another way, there's a lot of refinement to be done. But in another way, there's a simple switch that can be flipped. And once you flip the switch, then your life changes instantaneously. And that switch is mentioned by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he says, Jeev Krishna Dosh Ebi Shosh Kolito Adhukunai. And that is that just consider that I'm a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And if you remember this and embrace it, and this really our constitutional position, then you become immediately aligned. There are a lot of, there's self-help gurus out there. I know, like, Tony Robbins talks a lot about, you know, ways in which to realign your consciousness but through changing the way you're holding yourself and so forth. But the real alignment is in this. It's our attitude that I'm a servant. I'm not the master. Master means I'm trying to enjoy something here in the material world. But as soon as I think I'm a servant, then I feel relief. And as soon as one thinks I'm a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one's properly situated. And as soon as one thinks I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, a million times removed of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one is situated in happy life. We welcome back Mukunda Datta Prabhu. Please give him a hand. Hare Krishna. He needs the mic too. He raised his hand. Shri Mukunda Datta. Shri Govinda Datta. Shri Govinda Datta. Everyone was looking for Mukunda Datta.
Harish, I also adore Mukunda Datta Prabhu for his nice kirtans. I was looking very. Thank you so much for a nice class, Prabhuji. I was just remembering along the same lines, like in Ramayana, when Lord Ram was going from Ayodhya and was sleeping at one place, in Guhaka's place. So his friend Guhaka, he was repenting, like seeing Lord Ram sleeping on the like grasses. Like he was repenting how he's a very great king and how the bhagya has turned, like all the destiny has turned and he's suffering. And he was just in anxiety kind of things. And Lakshman was awake and he consoled and he gave a lot of knowledge to Guhaka at that time in the night. And he was mentioning the same points, like all this like reversals or the fortunes and everything are seen as dream when seen from the one who is awakened in the consciousness. And the living entity is really considered to be awakened when they give up this desire for subtle and gross enjoyment in the material nature. So I was just remembering that point, that this material desire, when we give up them, then the living entity awakes in the material sense. Otherwise, and then these are seen just a dream passing through it. Doesn't disturb us so much. Thank you so much.
Oh yes, thank you very much. Otherwise, that dream can fully consume us, and it can go on for millions of lifetimes being absorbed in that. So in this one short lifetime as a human being coming in contact with devotional service, one should endeavor very strenuously to come to the point of pure devotional service. Lord Rishabhadeva says in the fifth canto, Nunam pramata kurite vikarma yad indriya prite aprinoti. That's sadamanye yada atmanoyam asana pikleshada asadeha. He says that it's a big mistake to have taken birth in a material body. Don't compound it. Don't make it worse by getting more entangled. As Prabhupada put it very simply, he said, make the best use of a bad bargain. That's a kind of attitude. And so he says, you shouldn't have taken birth anyway, but since you have, do everything you possibly can to come out of this entanglement in the material world. Don't make it worse. Don't get re-entangled in the material world. That's a big mistake. So the Bhagavatam encourages us to go towards the path of pure devotional service. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I had another point from the Ramayana, is when Vibhishan, Ravan and Kumbhakaran, they were asking for boons, and Kumbhakaran and Ravan...
Microphone goes below the mouth, not above. There.
Kumbhakaran and Ravan, they both got what they wanted, or what they said, but then it wasn't necessarily what they eventually wanted, was immortality. But Vibhishan, he only asked for devotional service, and Brahma gave him the boon of being immortal.
There you go. Actually, I was just listening to a lecture of Prabhupada this morning, and he was saying if you take to this life of chanting Hare Krishna, you'll never want for anything. Everything will naturally come, and you'll live in a life of abundance. So the best business for anyone in this material world is to take up Krishna's business and close down one's other businesses. It doesn't mean that you don't continue to earn your livelihood. By having the intention of developing pure devotional service, that will pervade, that will eventually pervade all of your endeavors in the world. As much as possible, in a practical way, one can engage oneself in Krishna's business. And very fortunately for us, we have a very clear business plan laid out for us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was engaged in activities that everyone can relate to as far as spreading the Sankirtan movement. There's employment for everyone. And if elected, I promise, jobs, jobs, jobs. Because in the Sankirtan movement, there's the mission statement to expand unlimitedly. And therefore, there are positions for everybody who wants to be a part of this. Prabhupada mentions in Kriyasu Yatach Charanada Vindayo in the Srimad Bhagavatam verse that this Kriyasu, working practically for spreading Krishna consciousness, is a way that one can become fully absorbed in Krishna's purpose, to become one with him. By taking up the mission of Sankirtan, you become one in purpose with Krishna. Because Krishna's ultimate purpose for the material world is to give everyone an opportunity to go back to Godhead. And if you simply cooperate with that mission, then you're also aligned with his purpose. So it's a very practical way in which one can control one's mind and get the full mercy of the Lord by joining Lord Chaitanya's mission of Sankirtan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent devotees out. He was eager that they go door to door. And the other day when we were in Alachua, we went out door to door. And as we were going along, we were reading from the fifth canto, and Prabhupada said in a purport, you should go door to door. So when there's something so such a direct and clear and practical thing that one can do, one can just do it, and we'll feel the immediate results. First place we went was a little shopping mall, and there was an ice cream shop, or maybe it was yogurt or something else. I didn't really notice in detail what it was, but they were definitely selling some kind of ice cream type product. And there was one woman inside there working behind the counter, and going into some of these places, one doesn't know what the person is thinking or how they're going to take it. But Prabhupada wrote before he came to America that people in general are in their homes and they're thinking, when are Nitai and Gauri going to come and save me? And if you analyze it in an existential way, I mean, somebody working in an ice cream shop, they don't know where they came from, they don't know where they're going, they're just in a short interim period in their life. And it makes perfect sense to walk in and offer a Bhagavad Gita in such a circumstance, to give somebody some actual clear direction in life. So we did that based on the instructions, the examples of Srila Prabhupada and other great acharyas, that it's important to go out into the world and meet people. And you have to have a clear frame of reference to know that you're not disturbing anything. You're doing good. It's not a disturbance to the world because the world's already disturbed. It's not you that's disturbing it. If somebody thinks it's a disturbance, it's because they haven't understood what your purpose is. And Prabhupada wrote a letter, which I have on my wall at home, some of you may have seen, and he described how the material world is like an insane asylum. And if you go to a place where people are mentally deranged and you spend some time, and I've done that myself, hopefully, I went to visit somebody. Everyone has an idea of, they have a misguided idea of who they are. Like some people, they think they're Napoleon, somebody else. My father was in an Alzheimer's home in Walnut Creek, so I used to go over and see him every couple days. And the people in there, including my father, they had a misguided understanding about who they were and what was going on. So Prabhupada describes the whole material world is like that, because we're not actually the identities we've assumed. It's a mistake. So, and sometimes if you go into a place like that and you'll introduce something or talk to somebody, people might give you so many different kinds of reactions. Some of them even might maybe a violent reaction. But that doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing. It just means you're doing your job. So we went into the ice cream shop, and the woman looked really busy as we were talking to her. And the more we talked, the more I explained what was in the Bhagavad Gita and gave details of what was in there, the more her mind started getting attracted to it. And that's one of the principles of Sankirtan. And if anything else, if you bring it up and you make it visible, then there's a possibility the living entity will get attracted to it. And the reason is that living entities are marginal energy. They can go anywhere, and they do. And it's all because of external influence. So you get to be the influence, but you're bringing your influence by the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they're getting influenced through you as representatives, as instruments from the internal potency. So as I explained the Bhagavad Gita to her a little bit more, she started slowing down what she was doing because she was trying to look busy. And I saw a bumper sticker that said, you know, Jesus is returning, look busy. And so there's the way in which her mind started getting attracted to the book. And then as I told more and more and more, it turned out she had a spiritual side to her, and she ended up buying that book and giving it a significant donation and then chanting Hare Krishna and so forth. And so, you know, it's just a lone ice cream shop. There was nobody else in there at the time. And we just took the chance to go in there, and then it made all the difference in the world. So this activity of Sankirtan is a transcendental activity. It's a spiritual practice that you engage in, that you bring all of the philosophy of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita to bear, and you go out and you enact it by giving people an opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness, asking them to chant the Maha Mantra and so forth. Yes, Malini.
Vijay, to your point, you were saying that how Nita and Chaitanya actually, they're waiting for Nita and Chaitanya to come and save them. Last Saturday when we went door to door, we met some South Indian couple. The husband was an IIT and very highly qualified. And when we went, they said, please come on in. And when we went and we were talking about Bhagavatam, the wife and husband said that just recently we were just thinking that the Greek mythology, they have volumes of books like encyclopedias, and then other faiths also have similar kind of books. How come our culture, Vedic system, doesn't have this kind of an encyclopedia? And then we said, when we told about the Bhagavatam in the end of the presentation, so we were saying, we request that you should take these books. He says, definitely, we were waiting for these books.
Waiting for the books.
And and we said that it's $250 is a suggested donation for printing and shipping. Anything over that, whatever you want to donate, it's up to you. And then he said, definitely want to donate, and he gave $400 for a Bhagavatam set. But as you said, they were waiting for these kind of books. And their daughter, she when we asked him to read the books, just an introduction after the installation, they were reading it so fluently, so we could understand that they were avid readers. And the daughter took one canto, the eighth canto, and she said, you know, Mom, I bet that I will finish this in one day. So it was so nice to see that they were waiting for these kind of books to come to them.
Yes. So this is the kind of life that we've been given. It's a blessed life to be able to follow in the footsteps of the pure saints and acharyas, and to have a system that is clearly chalked out for us to follow every day, and therefore we can see if we're following or not following. And then also we have a livelihood. And the best livelihood of all is to give oneself fully to expanding the Sankirtan movement. Take responsibility to do this. Responsibility is a kind of austerity because it's uncomfortable to have to step up and be the one who made a choice. And then, because you can be criticized for making choices, somebody else will favor the other idea that you took, but do the best you can to spread the Sankirtan movement and take responsibility and become leaders in whatever department you're in. Become a leader by becoming, first of all, a really good follower, and then also using all of your talents and skills to expand the Sankirtan movement. That's the only game in town, actually, in Kali Yuga. Everything else is just, I could say some really heavy stuff to end the class. And I have before, but it's kind of a waste of time. Other things. They're necessary to keep body and soul together, and that's permitted. So no problem there. But one's heart and soul should be into the Sankirtan movement, preaching Krishna consciousness for the benefit of others. Then one will become happy and successful and abundant in all areas of life. And one should also cultivate pure devotional service and realize that any other benediction that you ask for, you will not be able to handle. You'll be the princess of the pea. You'll always feel uncomfortable no matter what you get, unless it's pure devotional service. Thank you very much. Om Tat Sat. Go Premanande Nitai Gaura Haribo 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo Nitai Gaura Haribo Bo Haribo Nitai Gaura Haribo. Vanchakobdhrvishcha kripasnabeva chapatitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Natari arman.